He has his own podcast. What is it, y'all? Get my shit together.
Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for Tuesday, November 21st, 2023. I hope your week is off to a great start. Hope you had a fine weekend, and I hope you're not doing anything too anti-Semitic this week, like the fucking wealthiest man in the world, Elon Musk. What a fucking J-O that guy is. Anyway, hope your week is off to a great start, and glad to be talking to you here as we come live on a Monday afternoon as I'm recording this before I go to Barrio X Brewing in Barrio Logan. I mentioned last time that two things I wanted to make sure I circled back on, followed through on. One is the long email that Ellen C., beloved listener, early adopter, acolyte, proselytizer, all the words, enthusiastic supporter of the Getting My Act Together podcast, the What's Your Problem show. By the way, the What's Your Problem show, which you can find online on YouTube. You can watch the very first one, which was the dream, and maybe it was too good to be true right off the rip. Zain Sharif, who was the warm-up comic for that show, did a little crowd work at the beginning, cut it up, and put it online, and it got 8 million views, which is pretty awesome and will benefit Zain exclusively and me zero. But I had an exchange with Zain. We texted the other day, and he mentioned that it got 8 million views, so that's pretty awesome. I wanted to circle back on this nice email that LNC sort of slipped through my radar. She sent it right before I left Atlanta, and it's a long, looks like pretty thoughtful, I've not read it all the way through, email. But I thought I would read it to you to catch you up to, well, to process it. Right, to process it on my end, but also because I haven't heard from Ellen in a little while, and I'm thinking, as the podcast is, about her well-being. The other thing I wanted to follow up on was the podcast I mentioned, my wife, who loves to tell me about what she listens to, and some guy she heard say this or that podcast about life. You should manage your expectations. You shouldn't expect it to be all rainbows and puppy dogs 24/7. And as a matter of fact, if you kind of situate your life within the grander misery and instead experience moments, gaps of joy and exuberance and warmth and love, you might be better off than constantly setting yourself up to be disappointed. And she got that, as I mentioned, from a podcast that I told you I would listen to over the weekend and then convey my thoughts. So I was not irresponsibly relaying information, second, third hand. So I found the podcast. However, it's a very popular podcast. I'll tell you about it at the end of today's podcast because I don't want you to be like, oh, fuck, I should go listen to that instead of this guy. Read a letter from 3 months ago. Well, that's what I'm going to do. I'll tell you at the end. I wasn't able to listen to it because it required a subscription, but only that episode. Very kind of coincidentally, if you ask me. So those were the two orders of business I had for today. I would like to, before I get into Ellen's email, wish you in the United States a very happy Thanksgiving week. I hope you, to say nothing of what the holiday means, just hope you're in. I hope you're with people that you care about and care about you, and you get a nap or two in. You have a couple nice meals, and you take a break from the world, as it were. So happy Thanksgiving week. You won't hear from me again until Friday. And one other thing I wanted to say. Oh yeah, if you are in Escondido or San Diego, California, Wednesday night, the night before Thanksgiving, come see Ian Bagg. I'm on the show up at Comedy on Grand in Escondido. The great Ian Bagg, who at long last has gotten the sort of, I don't know what to say. He sells out everywhere now, which is awesome because all of us, like I said, put out crowd work videos, but he is the best. And that is what he's done for a very long time. And the people have caught up to him. And now he's selling out everything. So I'm thrilled for him. I'm really grateful he's having me on the show. That is Wednesday, I think, 7 and 9. Excited to do, a real show, all due respect. Speaking of doing a real show, I'm going to get to Ellen's letter right now. But I mentioned that I was supposed to do that show, and my comedy career is going really well when shows that I'm booked on, as I'm referring to last Wednesday night, shows that I'm booked on are canceled because of the weather. Did that ever happen to Richard Pryor? Has that ever happened to Louis C.K.? Has that ever happened to Ms. Pat? No, it doesn't. It happens to me because I was doing a show that could be affected by the weather. Wednesday night, like I said, I wasn't petulant. I just sent a text to the group saying, hey, I just got to the venue, and they said the show's canceled. That was Wednesday that I sent that. On Friday, which was the next time I looked at Facebook, the showrunner, host, sent back a text saying, sorry, Joe, I sent out a message. Maybe did he say, I don't know, something like this. He said, sorry, Joe, I sent a message a few hours before the show saying it was canceled. Well, guess who didn't get that fucking message, dude? Me. Maybe it's because I'm new to town. Maybe because you thought I was in your phone or whatever it was. Maybe you thought you hit send on a Facebook message. I don't know. But what I do know is you can see, like, that was the last message that was sent to the group. Was, okay, see everyone tonight at 7:30. And then the next one was, sorry, Joe, I sent out a message. Maybe there's some oversight. I'm sure there is. I always assume positive intent. But the sequence of events there, the order of operations, I show up at the venue, show's canceled, I send a message, guy sends a message back saying, I told everybody this few hours ago, which is, you know, would gaslight somebody else. What the fuck do you mean? You didn't send it to me, dude. You think I'm just, you know what I mean? It's a weird thing. I'm at the venue. They're telling me the show is canceled, and you're telling me you told everyone that a few hours earlier. If you would have told everyone that a few hours earlier, I wouldn't be at the fucking venue with my dork in my hand. Anyway, just, who knows? I haven't looked at Facebook since Friday. Maybe there are more messages say, oh, I didn't mean to gaslight you. Turns out I accidentally didn't put you in the group text. I don't know what the fuck happened, but I just thought it was an interesting, oh yeah, it is canceled. I told everybody that a few hours ago. What do you think? I was just wishful thinking, just staying positive. I'm going to go down there and they're going to uncancel it. Anyway, I'll be at Comedy on Grand Wednesday night, two shows. Here's what Ellen said. This was sent on Ellen C, you know, is, like I said, beloved listener, early adopter, vocal supporter of mine, and I'm very grateful for that. This is sent on Sunday, July 28th. Right? What? No, not July 28th. July 23rd. It's a Sunday, right? Why do I say it like I know it? Did I leave on the 29th? Here's the thing. Let's say it's Sunday, July 23rd. I'm grown. I cannot look up anything on the internet, but I certainly can look at my phone here to see what actual day of the week that was. I'm pretty sure it was a Sunday, July 23rd. Okay. So she emailed this July 23rd, which was, remember I recorded those 30-minute sets on Friday and Saturday in Atlanta, or Thursday and Saturday, whatever it was, before I got in the car with the dogs 1 week later and drove to San Diego in barely 2 days' time. I hauled ass. And Ellen and lots of other people, lots of other nice supporters came to the show on Saturday night. And here's what she wrote. New beginnings is the subject of the email. Today is my birthday and I turn 44. Well, that's why. Maybe I haven't heard from you. I was such an asshole, I didn't acknowledge your birthday. By the way, listeners, July 23rd is Ellen C's birthday. Put it in your calendars, July 23rd. Happy birthday. I'm sorry that I did not acknowledge it. Today is my birthday, and I was moving across country. and I turned 44. Yesterday was a celebration of a different sort. I had originally thought of it as your last comedy show in Atlanta. Since you are moving and not leaving, it only means it was your last comedy show as a Georgia resident for a while. Yes, that is correct. And I was back there right around Halloween at Limerick, bombing my... I don't know, people say, hey, I like the new stuff. All right. You see, maybe it was the drinks I had before bed, or maybe it was the fact that your love for your family is scattered all through your act. But I just woke from a dream I have to tell you about. Well, that's the greatest compliment you could pay me, is that the love for my family is scattered all through my act. I'm blessed, Ellen. I do love him. I'm trying to be a better dad every day. The husband thing, I got that locked. No, I'm kidding. So she said, I just had a dream I have to tell you about. I had a dream that took place somewhere about 40 plus something years in the future. There is a knock on my door, and there stood the girl, all grown up, beautiful, smart, witty. All right, so this is my daughter, the girl, who I refer to as the girl, obviously, knocking on Ellen's door 40 odd years. So she would be in her mid-80s, and my daughter would be 45. So my daughter would be your age, Ellen, when you wrote this. The girl, all grown up, beautiful, smart, witty. All the wonderful qualities and equal parts that you and your wife have given her. Thank you. She has been traveling all around the United States. She was a well-traveled world traveler as well, visiting all the places her parents had talked about. See, you had left her with hours and hours of comedy shows and, of course, the podcasts. Yeah, you know... I'm. Thank you. I sometimes go back and forth. Like, should I throw everything away and let her figure it out for her own? But most people who've lost parents or lose parents in an early age say they would want to know everything. If you've heard me read people who've written into the podcast, they would want to know everything, good, bad, and other. So I'm going to leave the podcasts. I'm not. Hopefully, not dying anytime soon. You know what? My VO2 max. Anybody fuck around with their VO2 max? Is 51. What's up? Said I have the fitness of a 20-year-old. I'm running a lot. I'm going to just leave all the stuff that I've created podcast-wise, comedy-wise, writing, all of it, music, and, you know, she can do it with what she wants. So, after she completed about 4 years at college, liberal arts studies at San Diego State, let's go, aircraft at San Diego State, liberal arts studies, about 4 years at college. You know why? She can be a liberal arts major because we have a house that we can leave her, so she won't have to worry about how impossibly expensive this world is. She can have a house, and if she can figure out how to make a few dollars on the side, she can get through. After she completed about 4 years of college, liberal arts study at San Diego State, home of the Aztecs, you and your wife had settled back in Atlanta to retire. Oh... okay. Yes, you were both still alive in my dream, and yes, well, hopefully 40 years in the plus, it's going to be close. You were both still alive in my dream, and yes, you made it beyond her 30th birthday. Great. You spent most of the end of your career headlining shows across the U.S. That is the biggest fucking dream of all, Ellen. And I have the game to do it, I think. I might be... I might be hard pressed to do it from, I gotta just, whatever. Thank you. Headline, I finished them. Dude, have some more espresso. You spent most of the end of your career headlining shows across the U.S. You had several big recorded shows in theaters like the Fox across America. Well, thank you. She traveled with her trusty companion. So she's out there on her own in her mid 40s, traveling with her trusty companion, a dog she lovingly called George Banks III. Ah, that's awesome. She already had met with 15 underscore and had met his daughter, and they had started a wonderful friendship. Even better. She had traveled around to meet Dexter. Chi-Town Save Me, and many other beloved characters of the GMAT podcast and the other shows you had done. She'll meet Nick Murphy's kids and Zane Sharif's kids, and Ellen C. was the last one on her list. Oh, that's very sweet. That's quite a dream. She says, she continues on, the WYP show never really took, the What's Your Problem show never really took off, but it did morph into other shows and podcasts. You and Nick Murphy had a show called Look at This Knucklehead, where you would go around encouraging hecklers and drunks to take their best shot at roasting you on stage, and then you would take them down. That's kind of like every time Nick and I are on a show. What's Your Problem show? Yeah, I don't know. It's Nick and I messed around a few times trying to do it a little bit on Zoom, but it's just, I don't know. We got to figure it out. It's not as much, it's not nearly, when we've been on stage together doing it, crushing, doing it, you know, with no audience over Zoom, just not as much fun. All right. Roasting you and you would take them down. You and your wife had started a couples podcast off after the girl went to college. That was a big snort. It was mostly parenting and marriage advice. What advice? You know what I'd say about marriage advice? I've told you this before. You can't know for sure if someone is the one. You know what I mean? When I say the one, I know that there's more than one, and it depends on time and location and all that stuff. You can't know if someone is the one for certain. You try to eliminate all the possible error, but I do think you can know if they are not the one, and you have to listen to that voice. What else? Parenting, marriage advice. Be yourself 100%. If you're not being yourself, you're not being authentic in the relationship. And if you're not being yourself with your kid, my kid, I feel like, then I'm just teaching her to be multiple personalities and not be authentic and true to herself, and give her an unrealistic expectation of perfection for all of them. Keep laughing. Don't try to change the other person. Do not do anything outside of that person's purview that you wouldn't do right in front of them. What else could I tell you? Don't try to change them. And don't put conditions on your acceptance of them. You and Paul Olinger had a show together too. Oh, Paulie. Mostly you would travel around travel around trying different restaurants and giving food and drink reviews. Okay. Just an excuse to bend an elbow with Paul would be fun. Your girl had grown into a well-rounded individual. She had a healthy respect for authority because not so much what she learned of authority in the world, but because of what you and your wife had taught her at home. You know what it is, Ellen, I think about this with my own challenges with authority. I want her to respect authority to lose the battle to win the war. And you know what? They say at school that she's doing great and she transitioned well and she does what is asked of her and she's not a problem. Which you could say, like, well, I don't want just somebody like, yes, 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 following the rules. But what I want is somebody who's getting into the system, getting what they need out of it without maybe like me sabotaging my own journey through it, right? Go get a law degree and then, you know, do something very impactful. Learn all you can from wise elders without calling their bullshit every 5 seconds. Get the knowledge you need to do what you want to do. So anyway, that's my thought on that. Not so much what she learned, but because of what you and your wife had taught her at home. It's just easier. It's just easier if the cops aren't in your business. She was a Mother Teresa, Maya Angelou, Lucille Ball hybrid incarnate. She married her college sweetheart He became a lawyer, and they had two wonderful kids, a boy and a girl. I read the Maya Angelou poem thing that we got from our poetry in our neighborhood, right? Sometime in the last couple of months. People don't remember, from Maya Angelou, people don't remember what you did or what you said, but they remember how you made them feel. God, that is true. All right, she married her college sweetheart. He became a lawyer, and they... All right, so she is going, thank God she's straight. They had two wonderful kids, a boy and a girl. She was so loving and giving of herself, but she also had perfected the art of taking care of herself. That's right. I tell her all the time. She controls what happens to her. She controls how she feels about things. Feelings are automatic and real, and what she does with them are totally up to her. Tell her she's in charge of her body, and so is Clarence Thomas. You had taught her the value of daily journaling and meditation. I'm a big supporter. She was the most peaceful person to grace my doorstep. Well, knowing a little bit of what you've told me about your life, it's probably a low bar, but I'm glad. And you know I joke, Ellen, but this is so sweet. I'm a little caffeinated, but this is so sweet. She said, we talked for a long time, laughing. So this is my daughter has shown up 40-odd years in the future. Ellen C. is in her mid-80s, and my daughter is 45. We talked for a long time, laughing and sharing. When she left with her giant bag of memories and her dog, I noticed the back of her Prius was covered with classic rock decals. There was one decal off to the left of the side that said, fuck Hydrox. That's right. And on the right was a car decal that was a list that went like this. 1, water. 2, hey ya. Oh, wow. That's awesome. Man, thank you. It was very flattering, Alan, that you process the podcast like at such, it's like a comprehensive I'm very touched. So in this dream, my daughter had a, I've already told her because she's asked us, like, well, let's get a bumper sticker for your car, and I'm like, I'm not a sticker person. My wife and I are not signs in our front yard people, I told her. Fuck Hydrox, water, hey ya. And Ellen says, when I got to number 3, water was 1, 2, hey ya. And when I got to number 3, she took off. Yeah, I'm moved by this. This is very touching. Then she said, I just wanted to share this wonderful dream now while I still remembered it. And in case you had any reservations about this big move you are facing, the girl is all right. In fact, she turns out to be more than all right. She turns out to be an amazing individual who is just a wonderful adult version of the little girl she is now. And while you and your wife are busy raising her, all of her dreams and hopes come true as well. Oh, that's... Helen, you're going to make me blush a bit here. That's so sweet. And she says, safe travels, my friend, until we meet again. Ellen C. And maybe that's her last missive to the podcast. Like, there, I did my part. Go fuck yourself. That's very sweet, Ellen. Thank you so much. I'm, like I said, I'm touched. Believe it or not, a bit at a loss for words. Other than to say, the word that comes to mind is meaningful. This is very meaningful. What this is on a literal basis, what this represents, you the person, you the audience member, you the supporter, all of this mixed into this very meaningful soup that I'm grateful for. And And I'm also energized by this future in which my daughter is doing the damn thing. She's amazing. And when I say amazing, when I say great, all of that is to me. I'm not saying she's better than anyone. I'm not like Elon Musk. You know what I mean? Also, why is it only a big deal when black dudes have a lot of babies running around? How come nobody talks about how many babies that Elon Musk has with multiple different people? Oh, that's right. I'm flattered by this, and I'm really energized. When I say great, it means to me. When I say fun, to me. I'm sorry also that I did not get to this sooner. You know why? Probably it slipped through, and then when I did sort of attend to it and see it there, I saw that it was, I wanted to give it its due. I didn't want to just race through it. But you really listen carefully. You know about George Banks, the dog, and my beloved friends, Nick Murphy and Paul Olinger. She drives a Prius, huh? With classic rock decals. Tell you, she's a big fan of Waylon Jennings. She knows she can sing without any music all of the verses to the whole song, as it were, to Are You Sure Hank Done It This Way? Which, if you just read the lyrics and you don't like music or you don't like Waylon Jennings, you don't like what you think Waylon Jennings' type of country music is or whatever, if you just read the lyrics without listening to the music, it's a pretty punk rock sentiment. Which should encourage your spirit. When I came to Nashville, somebody told me, son, you finally got it made. Old Hank made it here, and we're all sure that you will. But I don't think Hank done it this way. Did old Hank really do it this way? Rhinestone suits and big shiny cars. It's been the same way for years. It needs to change. He's saying, just let me in this booming voice of mine and my unbelievable songwriting and guitar playing be enough. I seen the world with a 5-piece band looking at the backside of me, singing my songs and one of his now and again, but I don't think Hank done them this way. Meaning, I'm not like all this rhinestone bullshit, pop country shit. I'm Waylon goddamn Jennings. My daughter's interested in that. She likes the Ramones. And she knows that all the Ramones songs sound alike. Because anytime they come on, she just shouts out with their shuffling or whatever. She just shouts out Ramones. Ellen, this is incredibly thoughtful of you. And I hope I didn't, audience, devalue it by making any wise cracks along the way. You're encouraged to write into the podcast, yesjoesmith@gmail.com. You're encouraged to leave a review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called these days, like 15 underscore versus underscore 15 did. Even when he probably, his last one said, you know what he said? He said, it's a fire. I don't know if I read this or not. It's a fire. Mr. Host is a lover of the fire department. I absolutely am. I am my daughter is too. I support, it's easy. I'm a simp for them. It's easy. You want to support first responders, but you don't like cops. Let me show you the fire department. All firefighters should listen to this podcast. What's the difference? A firefighter told me, maybe I said this on the podcast previously, when I was hanging out at the station. I was talking with Cap. Oh, Cap. My daughter and I went down to exchange the t-shirt, whatever we bought. The guy told me the difference. The firefighter said, what's the difference between a cop and a fireman? I said, I don't know. He said, when they're kids, they both want to be firemen. I think I did that right. Meaning, nobody wants to be a cop. The podcast, so what's interesting here is I have to leave the podcast within 5 minutes to get on a call. But I really want to talk for another 10 or 15 minutes. So you won't, as I always say, you won't know the difference. I'm going to pause and come back several hours later to make sure I tell you about that podcast that my wife was listening to. And here is that moment on my way back from Barrio X Brewing, where I had a really good time. And it's, I know I talk about it every single week. I'm respected there. The guy's great. He gave me 10 minutes. I worked on a few new things, got a couple new laughs. Barrio X Brewing, hosted by Brandon, I don't know his the rest of his name, is my favorite spot to do stand-up and comedy, and is keeping me alive, frankly, doing stand-up. And tonight, once again, there were a few civilians in there, and some guy who was smashed and came up afterward and said, well, I was Jerry Seinfeld. And he was, I think he was complimenting me, but he was pointing in my face too drunkenly for my pure enjoyment. There are times where people are just mad pointing in my face, and that's okay. But I don't like when people are unaware. I don't like anybody pointing in my face, nor does anyone else in the world. Anyway, I'm on my way home from Barrio Logan, and to close the loop on the podcast that I mentioned on last Friday's podcast, around, you know, not overweighting or inflating your expectations for life. And my wife had been telling me about something she heard or overheard, or it was playing in the background of our house, or who knows, could have been something I dreamt. I have a small child. I stay up late. I get up early. My brain is a little fried. In any case, the podcast is a very apparently well-regarded podcast called Hidden Brain. Hidden Brain, and I do not know the name of the host, but I think it's a lot of, obviously, brain science, but a lot of psychology involved. And if I listened like you, if I were a good citizen and like you listened to podcasts, I would go listen to that. Alas, I don't, because I have to create the content. I have to have the experiences that generate the content. Hidden Brain, and it really is about the episode I tried to go back and listen to but could not because it was behind a paywall or something, was around that expression, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger, right? And I guess it's all about that, why that happens. Hold on one sec. My daughter has been, and I told you she gets in our car. Have I told you she gets in our cars and she messes with everything? We call them reindeer games. The other night we went out to dinner, the three of us, and got some noodles. And then she got in my car and she has pressed every single lever button. She lowered my driver's seat all the way down. So I was driving like a low rider. In any case, she has somehow enabled navigation in my car, and I can't figure out how to turn it off. So there is this woman's voice gently whispering in the background here as I'm trying to make my way home, and it's distracting, and it's violating my privacy. In any case, Hidden Brain is the name of the podcast. It's, and the episode that's behind the paywall is around if what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I think it's about how people process those terrible moments, what it does to enable them to have success in the future, how it's adaptive to both adjust and cope with terribleness that's happened in your life while while also, I believe, highlighting the good things, the other things, the little things. I haven't listened to it, but if you want to hear it, it's on Hidden Brain, and I will let you find it there. I am going to jump because, why? Because I'm preoccupied with this navigation system, which is just like Waze and the playing in the background, except I didn't even know I had it in my car, and I probably just, my daughter probably signed me up for some subscription. In any case, Wednesday will be in Escondido, California with Ian Bagg. Please come say hello. Both shows are sold out, so send your well wishes. I suppose if you want to get in touch with the podcast, you know how to do that. Above all else, I'm thankful for your support. I'm thankful this season for your listenership, for LNC writing such a long, thoughtful, considerate email, and everyone else who spreads the good word, and for Barrio X and Brandon on a Monday night, giving me just a little something to believe in thus far in San Diego. So have a great, in the United States, Thanksgiving. Everywhere else in the world, I hope you are safe and warm and with loved ones in general, and we'll talk to you on Friday.